And although I have had some very interesting experiences over the years because of what I do, the amazing miracles that have happened, especially me meeting others who are doing the right thing, who are exposing, you know, other atrocities in their own area of interest, because, as I said, I will never run out of answers to the question, what's ailing the world? And it's a global thing, you know, pretty much the same thing is being done by the psychopaths that control the entire world. But I'm finding people all over the globe that are actually realizing we're already dead. Okay, so there's nothing to fear, because if we don't come together and stand up and start shouting that we're not going to take this anymore, they're basically going to kill off 90% of us, as is stated in Agenda 21 of the UN, as well as on the Georgia Guidestones. You know, they're basically putting it in our face what they intend to do. So we don't have to be afraid of these monsters. We just have to face that there is a monster under the bed. And as all of us shine a light on these monsters, it's going to be really amazing how it all works out. As a matter of fact, next week on the show, I'm going to have guests from a group that's actually having a worldwide protest. It's going to be based in Scotland in regards to the theft of children, the abduction of children under false pretenses by the state, including the resultant child trafficking and sexual assaults of these children, experimentation on them. I mean, all the things that are being done to destroy the family. Because that's part of Agenda 21, you see. They want the state to raise the children. And Agenda 21 is a very mammoth document. But I encourage all of you to go on YouTube and just put in Agenda 21/depopulation. And you can watch some amazing YouTubes that people have put up in regards to this document in which they're actually telling us what they're up to. And we have to face this. As I said, we have to grow up. We have to stop being distracted by all of the distractions they're giving us. Isn't it amazing? Today's the Academy Awards. And so, you know, this has been nonstop on television telling us, oh, who's the, you know, person that's up for the best actors or best picture or whatever the case may be. Who cares? They're killing us. Okay, although I will say they do put a lot of truth in the movies. And actually, it was quite amazing. In my local paper here in North Carolina, the Charlotte Observer, they actually had a story this week about a rabbi, a Talmudic rabbi, who is one of the individuals that's on the board that picks the winners in all categories. Now, you got to admit, that's perfect. If you don't know about the Talmud, you got to check that out. The Talmud is actually where they tell us what the Zionist psychopaths are up to. But let me make it clear, the psychopaths come in all flavors. But the Zionists came up with a plan, and apparently all the other sellout psychopaths have agreed to go along with the plan. And the Talmud has some really interesting things, such as it's okay to lie, cheat, steal, or kill a goy. Basically, they do their kol nidre, where they take an oath not to keep all the other oaths they've made. They're allowed to have sex with children as long as they're under 9 years of age, and all kinds of really heinous things. But along those lines, I just want to read you the most revealing sentence from a very important book entitled The Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. And this is the last sentence of the 10th protocol. And this tells in one sentence exactly what they're doing. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, by want, so that the goy see no other issue than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. And let me just state that the inoculation of diseases is in capital letters. So check that out for yourself, folks. Okay. There's so much information to cover about vaccinations. It is truly mind-boggling. I have a whole pile of things here in front of me that I would like to cover. But first, let me start out with a couple of things that I referenced in my Hippocratic Oath. The Nuremberg Code. Now, you probably all heard about the Nuremberg Code after World War II. They allegedly, you know, prosecuted the mad scientists who were torturing people in the camps. Of course, as it turns out, the really bad guys were actually sent to other countries, especially Dr. Joseph Mengele. They only had, you know, as always happens, there's a few people that they pick out to go after to make it look like they're actually horrified by what's been done. But the Nuremberg Code is a very important document, and I'm just going to read the first part of it. The whole point of the Nuremberg Code is that the voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved, as to make him able to understand and make an enlightened decision. This latter element requires that before the acceptance of an affirmative decision by the experimental subject, there should be made known to him the nature, duration, and purpose of the experiment, the method and means by which it is to be conducted, all inconveniences and hazards reasonably to be expected, and the effects upon his health or person which may possibly come from his participation in the experiment. Now, amazingly, I found out after my biological father had passed on that he was actually the one that transcribed the Nuremberg trials. Unfortunately, I didn't know that while he was alive. I'm sure we could have had some very interesting discussions. Now let me tell you what it says in U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520 and 1524. Use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents by the Department of Defense. Not later than 30 days after final approval within the Department of Defense of plans for any experiment or study to be conducted by the department, whether directly or under contract, involving the use of human subjects for the testing of chemical or biological agents, the Secretary of Defense shall supply the committees on armed services of the Senate and House of Representatives with a full accounting of such plans for each experiment or study. And such experiment or study may then be conducted only after the expiration of the 30-day period beginning on the date such accounting is received by such committees. So obviously, you know, the unspoken thing is there so that they can get out of town. Because if the experiment's going to be, for example, chemtrail droppings of Morgellons or whatever over the District of Criminals on a certain period of days, you know, the monsters may want to go on vacation. Section 1524 of that same title chapter is entitled Agreements to Provide Support to Vaccination Programs of the Department of Health and Human Services. Agreements authorize. The Secretary of Defense may enter into agreements with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Now, there's an unusual alliance, defense and human services. To provide support for vaccination programs of the Secretary of Health and Human Services in the United States through use of the excess peacetime biological weapons defense capability of the Department of Defense. Excess peacetime biological weapons. I'll let you all figure out for yourself what that means. Now, this was actually passed in November of 1969. When I was first told about this, I didn't believe it. So I went to my local library back when I lived in Long Island, and I went to the law library, and I copied it out of the law book itself, U.S. Code Title 50, and I'm reading to you from the copy I made from that law book. Now, I started talking about this. At the time, I was doing public access TV shows on Long Island, also called What's Ailing America, doing many other shows as well, sending it to everybody I know. And so what was the response of the traitors in the District of Criminals? And this is a perfect example of what these psychopaths do. On April 1st of 2000, they passed an addendum to the law, and it's called Section 1520A of the same law. And you, so you could find this in the 2000 version of U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520. Now we have 1520A. And in this Section 1520A, they have listed exceptions to, they've listed restrictions on the use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. And now they have prohibited activities. The Secretary of Defense may not conduct directly or by contract any test or experiment involving the use of a chemical agent or biological agent on a civilian population or human subject. Whew. Wow. They finally reversed it. Listen to the exceptions under Part B. Subject to subsections C, D, and E of this section, the prohibition in subsection A of this section does not apply to a test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. Any peaceful purpose related to a medical, therapeutical, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activity. Any purpose that is directly related to protection, quote unquote, against toxic chemicals or biological agents and weapons. Any law enforcement purpose, including any purpose related to riot control. You see how that works, folks? They set up a prohibition. They decide to restrict what they've already done because too many people found out about it, but they made their exceptions, which not only loopholes back in everything they're already doing, but now we're adding that any law enforcement agency can use chemical or biological weapons for riot control. Does anybody have a problem with this? I sure hope so. Okay. Let me get on to another document, and I'm hopefully going to be getting a new webmaster, because I got to put some of these documents up on my websites, and my drcarly.com site needs to be completely redone. I have so much on my plate trying to get my book done, doing all these consults and also radio shows trying to spread the word, because this is a very important year, folks. 2012. It's not that, you know, the man calendar is going to come to be and, you know, the man in the sky saying, okay, we're going to end the earth, you know, last days, all that crap. Okay, it's that the minions are going to be exposed and are being exposed. And the two trains are coming together. And, yes, it's going to be very ugly. Bad things are already happening and are going to continue to happen. But I can assure you that one thing I know in the core of my being is that the truth will win in the end. And these people are scared. And all the problems I get with my computer and my radio shows, I was supposed to have a guest on my show yesterday by the name of David McGowan, who's been studying the global pedophile cabal, and the minions made it so that he wasn't able to call in the show. You know, these kind of things happen all the time. But I carry on. I had a number of listeners call in, and, you know, we did a show, which turned out to be an excellent show as well, because we have so many people investigating what's going on, and they give their information as to a piece of the pie that they've discovered. So keep on going, boys. I'm sure we got lots of boys listening, because guess what, you pieces of garbage? You're being killed as well, and you are sacrificing your own health, your progeny, your very DNA is being destroyed. So keep on working for the psychopaths and see where that gets you. Because one thing I know is that evil is evil, even to its own. And when the time comes that you're done doing whatever they wanted you to do, you will be expendable. And they will take you out. And that's what you have looking forward to in your life. And I often wonder, when these monsters, you know, when these doctors committing euthanasia, when these judges giving children to pedophiles, stealing children from good parents, when these social workers who are stealing children knowing that the parents did nothing, the list is endless. The cops that are tasering and murdering people because they're, you know, exercising their right to free speech, the list is endless. When they tuck their children at night and their children says, Mommy, Daddy, what did you do today? I wonder what they say. Well, I did whatever I had to do, Johnny, to put food on the table. And someday you will be a slave or dead because I did what I did. And that's what's going on. So you monsters better think twice because you are being killed as well. One of the most very important documents that I have found in my 15 years of research is a document actually published by the CDC. And this was quite a moment. I've had my moments. I've had my moments of sheer torture, and I've had my moments where I was laughing my backside off. Now, let me just give a little background to this. Before the medical mafia in New York State, the same one that protected pedophile Philip Ryback after he sexually assaulted over 100 autistic children, went against my medical license, saying I had a delusion of conspiracy because I exposed that my own son's sexual assault was being covered up by the authorities. Actually, before they took my license, and one of the reasons I know they went after my license, and they had to make up something because even when I was a surgeon, I never had a single complaint against me for anything I did with any patients. Because I actually treated people the way I would want to be treated. Very, very strange, you know, very mutated in my mind, apparently. But I used to give my patients medical exemptions from vaccinations. I would diagnose them as having vaccine-induced diseases. Now, this really pissed off a lot of the people in the different schools. And a nurse at one of the schools where a child was attending, where I had developed such a vaccine exemption, decided she would call the CDC and discuss vaccine-induced diseases. And I was actually sent a copy of the letter that she received from them, where she was told by a minion by the name of Atkinson that was involved with the immunization subsection of the Centers for Disease Creation. I don't know if he's still there. But she got a letter back from him saying that there is no such thing as vaccine-induced diseases. Well, in 2000, I was asked to go to the District of Criminals to speak at a medical conference. It was a gigantic conference of the National Medical Association, which is basically the African-American version of the AMA, where they have the same kind of propaganda being spoken. However, at this particular conference, there was an individual who miraculously arranged like a little sub-conference within this monstrous conference where we talked about natural solutions. So they asked me to come there and talk about my protocol. Excuse me. A lot of chemtrails today. And so I went there, and I gave my talk. And, you know, during the break time between different speakers, I would prowse around. They had all kinds of booths and stuff. And there was a booth there by the Centers of Disease Creation. And they had all kinds of handouts there. So I started looking around and picked up everything they had because I knew it would be gold for my work. And one of the most amazing documents I found is entitled Vaccine Information Statements, What You Need to Know. It's about 18 pages long. It says right on the front, it's a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, publication number 99-6194, May 4th, 2000. Let's see what page 9 says, entitled The Law. Recording patient information and reporting adverse events. I'm not going to read the whole page. I'm just going to get to the good part. Under reporting, this is what it says. A report respecting a vaccine shall include the time periods after the administration of such vaccine within which vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, injuries, or conditions where deaths occur, and the manufacturer and lot number of the vaccines. Now you can imagine, just picture me doing a double take. Wait a minute. Dr. Atkins said there's no such thing as vaccine-induced diseases. But according to their own document, there is such a thing as vaccine-related illnesses, disabilities, injuries, and conditions where deaths occur. That was a big moment, folks, and it's really amazing how it's all worked out. I have sent this out far and wide. I would say at least 50 people have contacted me after calling the CDC, trying to get a copy of this document. And let me give the publication number again. Publication number 99-6194, May 4th, 2000, Vaccine Information Statements, What You Need to Know. And guess what they were told? It's no longer available. Well, it's available through me. And if you email me, I can't email you the entire document. I just don't have the ability to do that. I'm very technologically inept on the computer and, you know, different, you know, storage issues and maximum amounts of gigabytes, whatever. You know, I don't even know anything about these things. But I will email you a copy of this document, the law. And when I get my new webmaster, which I'm going to be talking to somebody this week, I want to basically publish this on my website. Now, of course, we know they have that whole SOP thing, you know, which apparently has been stonewalled for now in regards to publishing, quote-unquote, copyrighted material. So, you know, this is perfectly legal now. Although, that's why they're doing it, folks, just so you know. And I'm sure they're going to, you know, loophole this in down the line. There will be some massive $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 page congressional document, and they'll stick this in as a rider someplace. So we know what's coming. But so far, you know, you're allowed to do it. And see, that's what's amazing, is these monsters actually tell us what they're doing. And then they copyright it. So that farther on down the line, people can be persecuted for exposing it to the ones who will do something with the information. But I just want to say, that was one of my best days. When I got a hold of this puppy, let me tell you something. It was quite an amazing moment, and I've done lots with that information. Okay. I have other things I want to talk about, but before I get into it, I just want to mention there's a journalist by the name of Christina England in the UK that I've been collaborating with for some weeks now. A most amazing mom of two adopted vaccine-damaged children who we've been, you know, going back and forth about different articles that she's writing for VacTruth. And the latest article that she wrote was just amazing in regards to, you know, what's going on not only with the vaccine damage, but what's going on with the different ways that they handle it when parents come up and say that they have vaccine-damaged children. Now, there's something called Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And Munchausen syndrome is a totally invented, quote-unquote, psychiatric condition that was invented by this monster by the name of Professor Roy Meadows. And basically what they do is if any parent says that their child is vaccine damaged and tries to get some kind of evaluation of the child, you know, has them go through different tests or whatever, they'll come in and say that the mother has Munchausen's. Munchausen's meaning that she's basically just trying to get attention, that there's nothing wrong with the child, and mom is just making the children go through all these unnecessary tests and stuff because she wants attention. And what do? They snatch the children, and that's what they're doing. And between my information and what Christine England has found, let me tell you something. We are going to blow these monsters out of the water because she was able to get her hands on all kinds of confidential documents in regards to various meetings. And the minutes of these meetings all say on the top of them, not for publication, in confidence, blah, blah, blah. And this is in regards to UK, the UK's Committee on Safety of Medicine, Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunization, Joint Subcommittee on Adverse Reactions to Vaccines and Immunization. And as Christine has proved, that not only do these monsters know what the vaccines are doing to the children, in fact, this condition called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is autism, is mentioned on many of the documents, but Professor Roy Meadows, the very man who claims that any mother that claims that their child is vaccine damaged is psychiatrically ill, he's a participant in these meetings. How does that happen, people? Does this look like a conspiracy? It's an obvious conspiracy. And not only is it an obvious conspiracy, these are crimes against humanity, okay? And one of the things that cracked me up, let me just give you one of the arguments that these monsters come up with. I mean, if it wasn't so evil, you would have to laugh. They want to separate temporal associations from etiological relationships. Now, when they say temporal association, they mean what happened in time. In other words, if your child was jabbed with a needle with the MMR vaccine viruses in it, and within a few hours or weeks or days, or sometimes it takes months, they started flapping their hands, they couldn't talk, they lost their eye contact. That's what they're talking in terms of temporal relationships. How long did it take for the problem to manifest itself? And how long it takes depends on how strong your immune system is, which is determined by your genetics. And that's the only place that genetics is really important. If you have parents with good, strong genetics and they have good immune systems, and in order to be in that condition, of course, they can't have been vaccinated much themselves because vaccinations actually mutate your DNA. So let's say that you're, what's the group? The Amish. The Amish is a good example. They don't vaccinate their children. They probably have the strongest DNA on the planet. And so if you're the offspring of an Amish person, you probably have a very strong immune system. But, you know, it's not really worth talking about them because they don't get their children vaccinated. You know, they're smarter than us people that have television. But anyways, but this is one of their arguments, that they're going to separate the timeline from when the assault occurred from the etiological relationship. Now, you know, they have to use their big words because this is how they confuse people. Etiological relationship means something caused something else. How do you separate the timeline from the fact that something caused something else? Well, I will tell you how they've done it. They've come up with arbitrary numbers of days, and usually it's 2 weeks. And in fact, here in the States, if you try to get into these vaccine courts, the vaccine compensation courts, with their special masters, very interesting term for the corrupt judges that control these courts, if you try to get into those courts and claim that your child's been vaccine damaged, they will only take a complaint if the damage occurred, I believe it's 2 weeks after the assault occurred. If it happens, you know, 2 weeks and 1 hour after the child got the vaccination, then the case is automatically dismissed, which is totally arbitrary. It's ridiculous. But this is how it works. And let me also mention, for any of you that are supporters of this National Vaccine Information Center, basically started by this minion, Barbara Lowe Fisher. Let me tell you a little bit about that situation. Barbara Lowe Fisher claims that she has a vaccine-damaged child. Now, you would think that if she really does have a vaccine injured child, she would be very, very interested in stopping the Holocaust on the children, the destruction of their DNA, their murder. You know, most of the children that are diagnosed with shaken baby syndrome, and then the parents go to jail for life, in all cases of SIDS, in my opinion. It's all from vaccines, not to mention autism, insulin-dependent diabetes, juvenile arthritis, MS. I mean, the list is endless, okay? You would think that she would want to stop this insanity. But what did Barbara Lou Fisher do? Well, in fact, she started this National Vaccine Information Center in 1982. And actually, it was founded with petrochemical and banking industrialists subverting the initial group that was started, Dissatisfied Parents Together, DPT. Because, you see, Barbara Lou Fisher doesn't have a conscience. And when the people came to her and said, Barbie, here's some cash, she said, okay, what do you want me to do? And the answer was they wanted her to go testify in front of Congress to tell them that we needed to start a vaccine compensation fund to basically give parents a way to get compensation for their vaccine-damaged children. And what did this mean? Why, this meant that Big Pharma, who has lost billions of dollars over the years, especially back in 1976 with this whole swine flu debacle, where so many people died and got Guillain-Barré syndrome, etc. And if you want to read a really good book about that, Vaccination, the Silent Killer, by Ida Onoroff, H-O-N-O-R-O-F, and Eleanor McBean. I got my used copy on Amazon. In that book, they actually tell about how not only were all these people dying and maimed, and they actually sued, and they were awarded lots and lots of cash. Not that cash is going to, you know, compensate you for being dead or having a lifelong disability. But let me just sidebar a little bit and say, in this amazing book, Ida Onoroff actually talks about how her and another individual went to court to stop the vaccine program. It was President Ford at the time pushing this crap on people, and so many people were dying and getting sick, it became really self-evident that this was the cause. So they actually tried to go to court and stop this swine flu program, and their case was dismissed. And the judge in the case, when asked by these individuals that brought the case, why was the case dismissed? And the judge replied, because you don't have standing. And when they asked how they could get standing, the answer was, if you got the vaccine and you died. Now, if you got the vaccine and you died, you're not standing. Okay? I'm trying to show you how insane the system is, how these monsters have created a no-win situation. Would you like to get shot in the back or stabbed in the heart? Either way, you're dead, okay? So anyways, that's how it used to be back in the day. If you had a vaccine injury, and, you know, back when there were actually probably a few honest lawyers, I don't think there is such a thing anymore. A caller into my show yesterday mentioned somebody who's exposing one situation, perhaps some of the lawyers are now waking up and realizing that they're being killed and maimed as well. And as more and more people do that, they will become whistleblowers and come from within and expose what's going on, no matter the repercussions, because, like I said, we're all dead if we do nothing. However, because of the fact that, you know, the big pharma industries were losing lots of money on these vaccine lawsuits, they basically, you know, put out the word, if we don't have some degree of protection, we're not going to make this crap anymore. In comes Barbie Lou Fisher. And Barbie Lou Fisher testifying how badly we needed this vaccine compensation fund. What did she accomplish? She accomplished the amazing feat of making you pay for the vaccine damage. Yes, that's right. It comes out of taxpayers' money. And to date, they've paid over $2 billion, with a B, in vaccine damages. Now, you may think that sounds like a lot. It's a tip of the iceberg because, in fact, it's almost impossible to get a case heard by the Vaccine Compensation Fund, Board, Special Master, because if you don't have the right timeline, if you don't have an attorney who's not going to sell you out, which most of them do, you know, they'll take your case and pretend they're going to do the right thing, and then they'll miss a deadline or forget to file a document or whatever the case may be so that the case was dropped. That's what most of these land sharks do. But this has made it where you pay for the damages. And as I said, almost no damages are admitted. Although, if you go to reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and click on the Vaccine Induced Disease tab, there are two documents there. One is in regards to the Hannah Poling case, one of the few cases where they actually admitted that the child got autism from her vaccines. And you can find my critique of that decision there, because it proves that she had subacute sclerosis and panencephalitis, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. It shows how they changed the name of the diseases to hide what the true cause is. But one of the most amazing cases was a relatively recent case where they actually awarded damages to the mother of a child who is now dead, who came down with severe lupus after she got injected with, I believe it was the hepatitis B. So, you see, occasionally they are forced to admit because the evidence is just so overwhelming and their timeline and all of their other hoops they have to jump through are able to be jumped through. So I definitely suggest you check those things out. So that was a sidebar that I got into in talking about the latest article that Christine England has written. You can find it on the Vac Truth website. It was just posted today, and the title is Children Snatched as Part of the Largest Vaccine Cover-Up the World Has Ever Seen. And I gave her a lot of input into this article, and basically what she's proving in this article, which is a bomb on these monsters. I mean, I wish I could be a fly on the wall as all the vaccine promoters and mad scientists and sellouts are sitting down and reading this as we speak, because, like I said, it was just posted today. Because not only is she speaking about how subacute sclerosing panencephalitis is actually autism, not only is she speaking about how her quote-unquote confidential documents, secret documents, show that these adverse reaction investigators were talking about subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, but she's also proving that Roy Meadows was sitting there at the time. Now, Roy Meadows, as I said, is the one who invented Munchausen syndrome. And this is being used so much in the UK, it's just mind-boggling. Here in the States, I have heard of cases where they use it, but it's not nearly to the extent they're using it in the UK. Here in the States, you know, there's not really one way that they, you know, get you, although they will oftentimes take children away from parents for not continuing to get vaccinated. You know, see, if you see your child start flapping their hands and losing eye contact and losing speech after they get their MMR, you're supposed to keep vaccinating, you see, to protect them. That's how it works. And if you don't, then the pediatrician, the white coat, the medical devil, the rabid doctor who will do anything to keep their license will call Child Predator Services. And basically, you'll get a knock on the door. Now, if you get a knock on the door, what I would do if I was you, and unfortunately, what I didn't know better to not do myself, and I speak from experience, I opened the door when I reported what had happened to my son, when his own father violently sexually assaulted him on Father's Day, 1999. I opened the door. I thought they were going to help me. Well, I won't go into all that right now. You can go to drcarly.com and read some of the documents under the picture of me and Joey. But let's just say my son's been satanically, ritually abused for 13 years now. I've had no contact with him for a decade, although I am still paying child support based on my salary as a surgeon. So that's what I've experienced in the, you know, constitutional courts in this country. But if CPS comes knocking at your door, If I was you, because of course I don't give legal advice either, but if I was you, I would say through the door, do you have a warrant? If the answer is no, you don't open the door. If the answer is yes, you say, serve me with a warrant. And if they don't serve you with a warrant, then you don't open the door. Because there's actually many cases where they even will say they have a warrant, and then they come in and take your children, and then you find out they don't have a warrant. But once they have your children, you say, possession is 9/10 of the law. So you have to protect your children from these monsters, okay? Very important. But I definitely do suggest that all of you go to VAC Truth. It's VAC Truth. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if it's .com or .org, but whatever. Try both. And read this latest posted article by Christine England. And she's going to be my guest on the show 2 weeks from today. Amazing person who's been through it, just like me. Luckily for her, she did not lose her children, but what they put her through is totally unconscionable. And next week on the show, we're going to have some individuals who are part of this worldwide protest against child abduction and child abuse. It's emanating out of Scotland, and one of the main focuses of this case, there's a young woman, she's now a young woman with Down syndrome, her name is Holly Gregg. She was actually used by the you know, high-level pedophiles in the UK for torture for many years, and as it turns out, there was an individual by the name of Robert Green who tried to help her, and what his reward was for helping her is he was just sentenced about a week ago to a year in jail. And they came into his house and they confiscated all his computers and all of his evidence and everything of the cover-up. And that's why I tell everybody what I have done, when you have documentation of what the monsters are doing in whatever area it may be, don't just put it on an external drive. You have to download everything and give it to a trusted individual so that if they confiscate, i.e. steal, your evidence, or if you suddenly disappear, somebody else can come out and say, guess what I got? And, of course, once that happens, they should be copying it. You know, just spreading it out there like a virus. That's what we have to do. So the individuals involved with that massive worldwide protest will be a guest on my show next week. And I suggest you go to the lightofdayradioshow.com. And if you click on Dr. Carly Archives, go in the middle of that page. And Sheldon Day, who I'm so grateful for, who puts up all my recent archives for the last few years, I don't think he's going to be able to manage to put these archives up as well. And you can get those through the station, but there is a, you know, announcement about this worldwide protest in the middle of the Dr. Carly page on the lightofdayradioshow.com, as well as you can click on a flyer that's being distributed worldwide. Last I heard, there were 20 countries involved. So just so that you know, this is going on globally, and this is part of the UN Agenda 21. Because in order for them to accomplish their goal of basically creating their new world order, they have to confiscate as many children as possible, have them raised by the state, indoctrinate them in public school, where they're going to be only caring about sustainable development. As a matter of fact, if you put Agenda 21 Depopulation into YouTube, one of the videos you'll come across is an amazing video where one of the individuals that didn't believe this in the beginning and has checked it out and realized not only is it true, but it's even more heinous than I thought. They're even actually basically trying to tell the children, well, math isn't really that important. You know, who says 2 plus 2 equals 4? You know, nobody's proven that. Okay, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. But they're pushing sustainable development, and of course, in order for things to be sustainable, we have to decrease the population by 90%. We have to get the population off all of the beautiful, you know, earth that's uncontaminated and still standing, and just, you know, basically hoard them into urban centers where they won't be able to grow their own food and things of that nature. And, you know, they'll just die off if they vaccinate them. So, you know, this is what's going on. But confiscation of the children is a very important part of that, destroying the family. And there's no better way to destroy a family, to put the parents into a state of never-ending post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as put the children into, I don't even know what to call it. It's really amazing. When I was in medical school and we took courses in psychology, they talked about child abandonment, the damage to the child, you know, caused by the parents abandoning the child. Well, what about when the SWAT team breaks down the door and comes in and takes your child? What do you think that does to the child? Okay? But they're doing this in the interest of child protection. And then, of course, when the child is farmed off to some foster home where they can be, you know, sexually abused or, you know, physically abused or neglected or whatever. Because most foster parents, let's face it, they're doing it to get some cash. Once they're put in that setting and they start acting out, why then we have an opportunity to put them in a psychiatrical drug trial. I mean, I could go on for days, but you see where I'm going here. It's all connected. It's all being done on purpose. So definitely check out that article. Let me say the name again. Children Snatched is part of the largest vaccine cover-up the world has ever seen by Christine England, who will be my guest 2 weeks from today, published on VacTruth, either .org or .com. Sorry, I don't have those last three letters for you. Okay. On that note, I kind of need to take a breath, so I'm going to ask my board op if we can possibly maybe do a little music break. And I'll come back and talk some more. I could, you know, go on for days. But let me also say, if any of you want to call in or comment on anything that I've said, you can call in to the station if you like. The number is 785-336-5190. Or you can Skype in Patty, P-A-T-T-I-E, space, walk in turtle, all one word. Because I love to answer questions, and it's very hard for me to just go on without taking a breath. But I can, because I got so much information. Okay. I'm not hearing yet that we have a break ready. So let me just go to another thing. I don't even know where to put all these papers. Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention, in regards to how they hide things. And I mentioned this a little bit early. Okay.
Okay, Dr. Carly, get ready. We're coming down to about 30 seconds.
Okay. Where did you post it? On the chat room?
Yep. Okay. Posted in the chat.
Excellent.
Okay, and you're going live right now.
Okay, folks, it's Dr. Carly. I'm back for our second hour. Actually, I guess it's been more than an hour I've been jabbering. And during my little break, I went and checked out the actual website. It is VacTruth.com. And Patty, our producer, has been kind enough to post the actual link to the article in the chat room, so you can just click on it and check it out for yourself. Please spread it far and wide. Actually, she did edit the title a little bit. The actual title is Legal Kidnapping by the State to Cover Up Vaccine Injuries. And I'm here to tell you that this is one of the most important articles that puts it all together. How not only are they damaging the children with vaccines, not only do they know what they're doing, but when the mother says that they've been vaccine damaged, the punishment is diagnosing mom with a mental illness, as well as removal of the children. I mean, this is so sick, you can't even imagine that such things could go on. And this is one of the problems that people who have not been yet affected, at least to their knowledge, this is why they can't even conceive of such evil. Because who could even believe that such evil is taking place? Because, of course, this is pure evil. And so people can't believe that such evil takes place. So they just prefer to say, oh, you must be dreaming or you must be delusional or whatever the case may be. But as I said, the information that Christine and I have brought together is going to blow these monsters out of the water. Now, let me also just state in regards to what they do, how they hide things. And I'm going to refer to a page out of Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, the 10th edition, which is posted on both of my websites, but the easiest way to find it is to go to reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, click on the vids page, and you will see it, a link to it there. And on page 2096, in the 10th edition of Harrison's, they have a section on subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. A long word, you know, long term. You know, the medical mafia does the same thing that the legal land sharks do. They use all kinds of fancy terminology so that, you know, people that don't know what all these words mean are just standing there saying, I don't understand this. But you see, that turns out that's why I went to medical school. So I would learn the verbiage, and I learned the verbiage quite well. Now, amazingly, this is the 10th edition. I think they're now up to the 16th edition. This was the actual edition that I had to purchase when I was in medical school. And let me say that Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine is the standard used throughout the world to teach medical doctors this, you know, specialty called internal medicine, which, as I said, I now realize is all vaccine-induced diseases. Now, see, the amazing thing is, and I know that's the reason I had to go through the trauma of a medical education and a surgical residency, because when you're going through this, and actually, you know, SUNY Downstate in Brooklyn, where I went to medical school, was at the time the biggest medical school in the country with the largest class. You just sit there in class. You're not allowed to raise your hand. You're not allowed to ask any questions. You just write down what the flapping lips at the front of the room say. You go home and you read the disinformation in the medical books, and then you spit it back out for a disease, for an exam. And, of course, you're so sleep-deprived and nutritionally deprived that you don't remember hardly anything. You just do a mind wipe, and then you get ready for the next semester, and you do it all again for 4 years. And then you get your degree, you raise your hand, you give the Hippocratic Oath, and then you go out and start writing prescriptions, doing surgery, or whatever. That's how medical education works. But funny how it works out. Although I've had three major moves in the last, 7 years, I actually saved all of my medical books, all of my medical notes, all of my transcripts of lectures given in medical school, and my favorite use for them is to go back and find the lies. Now, when I was in medical school, yeah, I read this book. I didn't remember a darn thing. I barely remembered that there was a condition called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. But when I went back, somehow, in my delusional state, because of course, just let you know, that the New York State Medical Board, the same one that covered up for this pedophile Philip Ryback, sexually assaulting autistic children. I mean, when you think about it, what better group to have a pedophile involved with than children that can't talk? But that same medical board, and actually the same year, charged me with having a delusion of conspiracy, because of a TV show I did on public access where I compared my son's case to the Franklin cover-up. So, you see, it's just really amazing how it all works out. But, you know, my mind is very, whatever it is, delusional, that's what they say. But amazing things happen where all of a sudden I'll get like a flashback and I'll say, I remember something called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. Let me look that up in my book. And when I did, you'll see the document that I found because I posted it on both websites, and they talk about what subacute sclerosing panencephalitis is. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can do that for yourself, but you will see at the end, the most important part is that they actually see, say in here, that reported cases may have been related to measles vaccination. Now, It's obviously from the measles virus. In fact, the version called rubeola. You know, they've documented that up the wazoo. And, of course, the MMR vaccine has live measles and rubeola as part of it. And so they're admitting in this, you know, explanation of subacute sclerosing panencephalitis that it may be related to the measles vaccination. Well, of course it is, because they're injecting you with live viruses. But when you read this, you will see they're talking about autism. The only thing is they say that it's always fatal. And my answer to that is, well, autism is non-fatal, subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. And so it's really amazing how that works out. That's when I realized how they changed the name. They changed the name of the disease to hide the fact of what they're actually doing. Now, it doesn't just happen with autism. Back in the case of the polio virus vaccine, the oral polio vaccine, which, by the way, was contaminated with SV40 virus, simian virus 40, a virus from monkeys. They were using monkey kidneys, chopping them up and, you know, growing polio virus in them and putting it on sugar cubes and giving it to people and saying, now you're protected from polio. Well, in fact, they took it off the market, at least here in the States. Now they're sending over all their leftover batches to third world countries so they can exterminate them with polio. But, you know, there was a period of about 15 years where the only cases of polio were occurring in people that got the live polio vaccine. Because, you see, once again, they're giving you the live virus. They're inoculating you with disease. Just like it says in the protocols of Zion, last sentence, 10th protocol. Okay? They're basically telling us what they're doing. But what they have to do is change the name of the disease. Now, in the case of polio, what they did is they started calling it aseptic meningitis. If you got polio after your polio vaccine, it wasn't called polio. It was called aseptic meningitis. That's what they do. They change the name, and they hide it in plain sight. And that's how it works. Now, let me just give you another example of what else they're doing. And this is from an article that was published in the New York Times. I don't have the exact date, but it was the last week in January of this year. And this article, which somebody sent me, is entitled, New Definition of Autism Will Exclude Many, Studies Suggest. Now, first of all, let me say, the answer is yes to the question on Skype.